You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Three beautiful goals. Like, both Matthews' goals were great. The first one was gross, but the second one, the OT winner, was like a one-time snapshot. Like, it was, that was fun. Like, it wasn't the greatest game, but it was
goals,
fun.
Or the first Matthews goal is really going to set himself up for some goaltenders. Not a lot of left-handed shots rip it under the bar glove side. It's more of a right-handed shot place to go. So he's going to have five-hole low blocker, because every goalie is going to be like, I don't want this guy to rip it over the glove. Cheat a little bit, lean a little bit, boom, low blocker.
It's a good point, because he's in Ovechkin's office, and he shoots left.
Yes.
But that's Ovi's office. That's Stamkos. That's where they've been set up their whole careers. But when Marner's got the puck and Tavares is down low, you naturally, you're going to gravitate to that side of the ice. And Matthews is going to have ice, and he comes up and curls. And if he gets it on his tape, it's, you're in big trouble.
You are in big trouble.
Carey Price played really well last night.
Both goalies were great.
That first Matthews goal, there isn't a goalie on earth that can stop that. No. Like, nobody can
stop
that.
They say it's
that.
A goal in any league. There's no league that's not a goal.
Right. How hard is it to do how he brings it closer to his body and then shoots it?
It's just catch and release. I mean, I played with the boss of the Maple Leafs, and he taught me how to shoot the puck. It's like, because I was getting the puck in the slot, and I'd cradle it, and I'd just take my time, and he had the quick release. He was the master of it, and he taught me how to do it. And this is just a quick little on the stick, because the most important thing about...
But he's changing the angle.
I get it, but the most important thing about goal scoring is not having the puck on your stick a long time.
Yeah.
And if you watch Austin Matthews, it's just boom, boom. It's in the net. It, you know, you could talk about the angle, where he's putting the puck, what's he doing with it, but it's just boom. It's off his stick and in the net. You can't stop it.
Mm.
No goalie can. It's just, it's a goal in any league.
Yeah. He was like 25-1, I think, for the Rocket Richard.
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
So who, like, Laine was ahead of him. Ovechkin would have been
Ovechkin was ahead of him.
Stamkos maybe, although he doesn't score a ton of goals.
Maybe Kucherov was in that mix.
Kucherov would have been. Crosby possibly.
But like 25-1.
Yeah. Dude, I think, I mean, it's one game. The way he starts seasons, it's unparalleled. I mean, the guy's got 9 points in three opening nights. But
he's just one of those guys.
If he's healthy, he's 45, a lock.
I was talking to it with numerous people today. He either scores or almost scores every game you watch him play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he plays the game, it's like, part of my job is to score this game. And not everybody thinks that, but for him to, like, actually...
Well, last night's a perfect example, because I didn't think he played well.
No, he didn't. He didn't have a 5-on-5. I don't think anybody really had a 5-on-5 game.
No, that looked great from a Maple Leaf perspective. Yeah.
And we talked about their lineup. They lost some good board players, where, like, Tyler Bozak he wasn't the most physical guy. He wasn't physical at all. But he would go in the corner and, like, grind it out, and he would dig up pucks and make things happen 5-on-5. Like, just little crafty, nifty veteran plays. Leo Komarov was physical. He would get back pucks. JVR wasn't exactly that physical, but he had reach. He would sometimes intercept passes.
Do you think it'll hurt them in the playoffs, not having, like, that element?
I mean, obviously, they're going to have to improve that element, but we're one game in. I'm sure there's going to be some changes. I don't know. It's a real... You have to say this, watching it, it's an extremely finesse lineup. It's...
Yeah, but it's high-end.
It's high-end
stuff.
That's
the thing. It's high-end.
It goes back to Detroit.
The Habs are a finesse team. They're skilled guys.
Of course, but if you look at the teams Babs had in Detroit, it was like a lot of left-handed players, European players, left-handed skill.
Yeah.
Not a lot of right-handed grit. That's kind of what they got, and we'll see what happens with it.
But a lot of those European guys were, like, hard, like, Datsyuk was, like, hard to play against. Zetterberg was hard.
Yeah, they were hard to play against because they were so good.
Yeah. But
they weren't running you over, Jonas. There wasn't a price to pay.
No, but that's not what I mean.
They would make you look stupid. They would not run you over in the corner.
That's not what I mean. I mean, they had, like, that engine, like, that you want in the playoffs. Like, what we've heard Babcock in the past talk with Nylander. Like, that it's not always, like, go, go, go. He calls it a drive train. That's what I'm talking about.
Right. And if will is not in front of skill, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. He's got all those sayings.
There's an element of truth to it, especially
absolutely.
In the playoffs.
He's not just saying it to say it. He's not wasting people's time.
No.
You know, like we can joke about how it's phrased and all that kind of stuff. But Babcock understands it, and he knows what has to take place. He's seen it. He's won 16 games in the spring. He's won them. And you can have all the skill in the world. And you can win games like last night where you don't really bring it. You don't win a lot of 50-50 battles. You turn the puck over. You're a bit reckless at times. But you've got so much skill where you can get it done on October 3rd against an inferior team. I don't know if you can do that on May 3rd against a team that's even with you.
Yeah,
I don't think
you
can.
We got to be careful, like, taking one game and, like...
Oh, I'm not trying to exploit this into, we have real problems here.
If they stomp Ottawa on Saturday, I don't know that we can read too much into that either.
Well, I think that's what's supposed to happen because Ottawa is supposed to be is the worst team in the league. But you never know. Look at Vancouver last night. You know, Vancouver, Calgary had a million power plays they couldn't convert. Vancouver got goals from Pettersson and Jake Virtanen scored a nice goal. All of a sudden, like Ray said in the previous hour, they're feeling pretty good about themselves because they were supposed to be the last place team in the West. I still think they will be. Even if Ottawa wins tonight against Chicago, I still think they're the worst team in the East. You know, you can't overreact from one game. But we'll see. Bob McKenzie, Darren Dreger in studio at 6:20.
If you had one trip to go on this weekend, I'm having Thanksgiving dinner Saturday night. Sunday, would you go watch Red Sox-Yankees, or would you go watch Leafs in Chicago?
By Sunday, they're back at Yankee Stadium. Is it New York? Because, well, they might be on an off day on Sunday. I'd probably go baseball because of that rivalry and because of New York and it's the playoffs. But Leafs Blackhawks in Chicago, you only get one opportunity at that once a year in Chicago.
You wheel in there.
Yeah, I know. It's a great call. It's a tough call. Like, look at the Boston sports scene. Tonight, the Patriots are at home with the Colts in town. You got Edelman back. Gronkowski had an injured ankle, but he's going to play. They're coming off a big win last week. They're back to 2-2. When they go 2-2 historically, they generally put themselves in a position to win a Super Bowl. The Colts have a million injuries. Luck is back, but he's still working out some kinks. I think the Pats go off again tonight. And then you got the Sox at home tomorrow with the Yankees in town. Like, that is prime sports action in your backyard if you're lucky enough to be in Boston.
Where do you think Toronto ranks as like a sports city right now?
In terms of overall
Boston's
relevance?
Number one. Yeah, like but like in terms of like all the teams being good. And granted, like every city doesn't have all the teams, but like Boston is clearly every team is good.
They've been number one for over a decade.
But Toronto, we've like kinda like slowly kinda climbed to a point where we're in that mix.
Yeah. Like if you take the NFL out of it and you look at hockey, baseball, basketball, Toronto would be right there.
Except Toronto has
the Jays are a problem. The Jays just won 73 games.
But went to like back to back ALCSs.
Mm-hmm. LA's up there. Chicago. Yeah. The Bears are 3-1, you know, and the Blackhawks throw on their way down.
Yeah,
but the Cubbies Bulls, just made the playoffs.
Bulls suck. Blackhawks aren't that good.
Yeah. New York's on a real downturn because the Rangers are going to be brutal. The Knicks are going to be brutal. The Giants and Jets are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
New York is irrelevant right now. Although, that said, the Yankees are the most popular team in the city, and they're about to play in the ALDS. So, I don't know. Toronto, it's nowhere close to Boston, clearly. But it's up there.
We haven't won anything.
That's the problem, right?
We
just have no appreciation for what it actually means to win a title.
And like be in the mix like every year in every sport.
Mm-hmm.
That's why like it's interesting how it's changed here. Like now the Raptors like in the mix every year. The Leafs look like they'll be in the mix.
Well, the Raptors are home tomorrow night. Kawhi Leonard's going to make his debut at the Scotiabank. It's a preseason game, but a Friday night with Kawhi, I think they'll get a pretty good crowd tomorrow night. They don't play a ton of preseason games in the NBA.
Well, they changed that.
Yeah, which is smart. There's so much. They're way more proactive than any other league.
Well, especially the one we cover most.
Yeah, they're always thinking long term. They're always thinking big picture in the NBA. And is it easy for every owner to say, yeah, give me four preseason games because then I get that much more money. People will buy tickets. Vendors are there. Yes, But is it worth it to deplete your product when it comes to the real stuff, the 82 regular season games, into the playoffs? Is it worth it to piss off your players or get them injured? And that's another thing, speaking of that, quickly going back to William Nylander, this idea that he's going to stay in Sweden and play in Sweden. He may stay in Sweden. He's not playing in Sweden. Because if he plays and blows out his knee, you've just completely ruined yourself. You cannot play somewhere else when you're holding out.
You talked about that with Athanasiou from Detroit last year. Oh, you want to threaten to go play in Europe?
You're not doing it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. You're not doing it. And Nylander, to be fair to him, he hasn't threatened that. It's all speculation that because he's in Sweden and he's practicing wherever he's practicing, and I'm sure he would have access to a team, he could technically sign in Sweden. He's not under contract with the Leafs. He could do it. But in terms of his own health and the insurance, why would you ever play games if you really want to be in the NHL? And I don't think there's any disputing this.
One
guy
thing
wants
to be
in the NHL.
Difficult about this conversation with William Nylander, Brian. Excuse me. You kind of know what you are. You know you're kind of somewhere in between Nick Ehlers and David Pastrnak. That's kind of what I'm going to sign for.
Maybe you think you're better.
Well, he ain't better. I'm telling you right now, he ain't better.
Like, he can think that all he wants.
Jonas, he's not better. He's not better.
I think he could. Could he score 30 goals?
Mm-hmm.
Could he get 90 points?
I don't think so.
Could he get 80 points?
No.
You don't think he can get 80 points?
I don't.
See, I think he could score 30 and get 80.
Do you think he's a better player than David Pastrnak?
I think he could be right in that ballpark. Right now, no.
No, I think you're
inflating David Pastrnak and under.
How in that? Did you watch the playoffs last year and watch Pastrnak play?
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, he's great every night.
But like, what you're trying to do with the contract is you're projecting what he's gonna be.
This kid had trouble getting the coach's confidence last year because he's not consistent with his efforts.
He's 22.
Oh.
So is Pastrnak.
Right, but like, not everybody's built the same. Like, the what Nylander is saying is, I'm going to be better. I'm going to get to a point where I'm going to be worth more.
That's what I never understood
than...
about guys in the media like you. Like, how do you pick and choose? I just deal with what I watch, and it's like simple.
What am I picking and choosing?
I don't know. You want to pump this guy's tires.
I don't know.
So
I just
great.
See.
But other guys, terrible. It's like, what? You guys just pick and choose guys, and you come up and pull stuff out of your ass. And I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about. I see a skill set that looks like, with more like refinement, could be really good.
I think he's a really good player. I'm not saying that he's not. But I think Nick Ehlers is really good. And I think Nick Ehlers is like a 65-point guy, which is a really good player.
Yeah.
And will there be some fluctuation where one year he gets 78, another year he gets 54?
And that's my point. So you're kind of in that ballpark.
But that's
ballpark.
The category he's in. Yeah.
So if you think you're anything different than that, you're flat out lying to yourself.
Right.
And I don't think anybody else, whether it's Bob McKenzie on Insider Trading or the organization or us on this show, nobody's buying it. So you're not better than that. So just use your brain.
I don't think that's fair.
Well,
that's why you're on the show once a month.
He can say whatever. He can think whatever he wants. I'm all for confidence. I love them because we've all heard stories where there are players in this league that genuinely believe they're as good as Connor McDavid. Like, they actually believe it. Or their parents or whatever.
There's not a guy that thinks that.
There was a guy that went through a negotiation a couple of years ago where he legitimately thought he should be paid like McDavid. And I heard that, and he's a really good player. But nobody's McDavid.
I think I know who you're talking about.
He's been
I can read the tea leaves.
Anyway, but the point is, these guys, they have a belief. They have confidence. There's a reason they got here. You have to be confident. If you're not confident in your own abilities, you're not going to make it in the league. So I'm all for confidence, but you also have to be realistic. Like, if you're delusional about your value, then this is what can happen. And I'm not saying
that's
that,
not delusional. It's not that big a jump.
It is delusional. If Nylander is pressing them on the idea that he believes he's a 90-point player.
No, but like, if he can look at Dreisaitl's contract and say, I can be that. My numbers aren't so.
I think Dreisaitl's better. I think any.
That is the most ridiculous comment I've ever heard. Just because Peter Chiarelli was a dodo head and gave Dreisaitl.
That's the market. That's how this works.
Well, but
somebody takes it.
So a dodo head, that means I got to be a dodo head.
Yeah, but so just because Mark Scheifele signed for, what did he sign? Six? Around six?
Yeah, not even.
So one of my Austin Matthews, and I'm now going to take less because Mark Scheifele took less?
Well, no. But you're being selective. Like, that's the thing. He's going to say Draisaitl. The team's going to say Ehlers. It's
Peter
the same
Chiarelli
thing.
Took an absolute turkey dump on every other general manager when he gave Draisaitl that money.
That was the way he negotiated.
Exactly what
was
he
did. Horrible.
He was like, he just came off of a conference final, and they just lost out to Anaheim, and he thought to himself, well, what was the timing?
Real
McDavid
close to
first?
McDavid.
No, yeah. McDavid first?
McDavid was first.
So then Draisaitl went, don't even think about it. If he's 12.
And he buckled.
Yeah, and he buckled.
He didn't even wait until camp or anything. He just said, all right, you got me. Yeah. 8 years, 8.5. That's so you can't manage your team that way.
If I'm looking after a team, I'm saying just because Peter Chiarelli did that, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, no, but that's I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying that's what the team should do. If I was the GM, I would do that too. And if I was Nylander,
yeah,
I would try
just
to push
said
for
you
his...
think Nylander deserves Draisaitl money.
No, I'm saying if I was him, I would try to push for that too.
Yeah, and I get the impression
and that the team can say no, and that's where we are.
Yeah, Darren Dreger and Bob McKenzie will be in studio. We'll get some more clarity on this. Get their take. Dreg's had a pretty big bombshell in terms of his own opinion of what's going on with this negotiation. We'll get him to explain that. Those guys will be in studio next.
We got to ask the fellas. We got Bob McKenzie, Darren Dreger.
New host.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he mails it in sometimes, and I got to take over. Did you guys ever go to university?
Kind of.
Where? Like you?
University of Saskatchewan, yes.
You actually went to a real university.
Bobby, where'd you go?
Mine was not called a university at the time that I went there. Ryerson Polytechnical Institute.
Really?
It's now a university.
I bailed early, yeah. And I went to a broadcast college. Western Academy.
So there's this awful thing that happens when you go to college. The first
you're speaking from experience?
Dude, I was in the NHL. I didn't go to college.
Just checking.
Do you have that soundbite where he was talking about reading earlier? Well, we have a beauty for you guys. We'll play it later.
Regardless, there's a bad thing that happens. The first weekend back, your girlfriend at home, she says, bye-bye.
Okay.
Because you're at different universities and things are happening and right. You all come back. Did that ever happen to you guys?
I'm not answering that.
That's the face of a guy.
Because I married the girl that I originally dated in high school.
Wow.
Oh, so she tried to dump you and you said you hung on for dear life or what happened?
Well,
Darren?
No. At one point she dumped me. Yeah. But I dumped her too.
Wow.
I don't think we need to disclose the circumstances as to what led to each decision.
A back-to-back turkey dump that turned out great for the
Bobby,
Dreger
anything
family.
Bad happened?
No, because...
what about the boys?
My wife and I went to Wilfrid Laurier, and my wife is going to University of Waterloo, but she wasn't my wife at the time, she was my girlfriend.
So you guys were still in close contact? There wasn't a big
issue?
Yeah,
although I quit Laurier after 6 weeks.
You dropped out of university?
Sounds familiar.
The first one, yeah.
Kids, if you want to be an insider, you just...
No, but then I went to Ryerson after that. I made a mistake taking honors English at Wilfrid Laurier.
I was going to be a phys ed teacher.
I think
so
you made
was everyone
right
else.
Yeah.
But
I think you made the right call.
French was mandatory. I was pretty good at French in high school. Can't speak it now, but at first year Laurier in the English honors, you had to take French, and the French class was 4 1-hour classes a week, and they were Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at 8 a.m.
Oh, gross.
And there was a transit strike in Kitchener-Waterloo that year,
yeah.
And I never made a class.
It's a deal breaker.
And well, then, before we get into the importance, what about stuffing? Stuffing guy or no?
A little bit of stuffing, sure.
I hate it. Dregs?
I'm okay with the stovetop stuff, out of the box, just because it's got the right amount of spice. If you're throwing fruit and all the garbage into the bird,
yeah.
I get nervous, because is it cooked right?
You just don't like putting your hand in the bird, do you?
I don't do that anymore.
I'm good with it.
All right.
You get all right?
Moving right along.
For the record, I'm not having turkey this weekend. I'm cooking up a big beef tenderloin on the barbecue.
Yeah. Is that right?
That's the Thanksgiving tradition at our house.
You going rogue, or you always do that?
We always do it every Thanksgiving.
I guess you can do whatever you want.
Bobby cooks a mean roast, too.
Is that right?
Beef tenderloin.
Yeah, it's really
I just don't like the ham. I don't know who likes a ham. I hate a ham.
I can do that.
I can do ham.
Yep. All right. We good?
Brussels sprouts.
Ryan Hayes, host of Overdrive.
Well,
go ahead.
Do you want to float out a question?
The O segment is over.
Yeah, he's done.
And I know I'm done now.
Yeah, all right. You're done.
Good having you here.
The
segment called Oh No.
Yeah.
What that was.
I think it should be called Oh No's. Like Bo Jackson.
Oh,
Bo.
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, it could
don't
be.
Give him
oh,
any
knows.
It
might be copyright. Oh, knows nothing.
I should grab that.
You should copyright that because yeah. O might be stealing that one. In fact, you know what? I'm going to steal it. I'm going to give it to the quiz master when we're stuck up for a second segment in the second intermission. Instead of a mini IT, mini insider trading, we're going to go, oh, no.
I like that idea. No. Float that idea out
O
to
thinks
him.
That blows. That's what he thinks.
All right, so we were talking about William Nylander. I mean, the game last night, we'll get into the details of the game, and there's a lot going on in the league. Want to get your take on Marchand. And is it Marchand?
Marchand.
Marchand.
I don't
Come
know.
On.
I'm sick
is
of it.
That for
so
real?
He said
Bobby,
it.
I decided I'm just going to say whatever I want. I don't
too.
Even care.
I am
I've
too.
Had it.
Yeah.
I've had it.
You don't have the right to one change. You can't change every single year.
Joe Bowen went with Tavares.
Last night.
That's wrong, too.
No, it isn't.
What
John
do you mean?
Tavares.
Well,
it's good by me.
Tavares said, I don't care. Yeah. We interviewed him on July 5th or whatever, and Gord was in here and asked him, and he goes, I don't care what
He's
you call
He's been in
me.
The league 9 years, and only because he comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs is this suddenly an issue.
Right.
That's the most Toronto thing ever.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It doesn't matter.
Just call him whatever you want. He's fine either way.
That's
we
my
all
new
know
rule. I don't even care. If someone's, I tried to do an email where we get everybody on the same page, but I don't care.
You're not
don't.
Good with names anyway, as we've learned.
Well, you haven't said a word for 3 hours, but now you pipe up?
Jonas, we were just arguing. What are you talking about?
All right. William Nylander. Dregs, you were on the lunch today talking about how you feel about what's going on between these two parties. I mean, what do you make of the Shanahan comments yesterday? Nylander speaking with Swedish media today. Does it change your view of everything? Where do you guys stand on this?
Well, you know, if we go back to yesterday, and Jonas was there in that scrum as well with Brendan Shanahan, I can appreciate what Shanahan was trying to deliver in terms of the message. I think the mistake was injecting his own personal past into it. Well, back in the day with Detroit, you know, we all left hundreds of he didn't say that, but it was implied that they made the financial fit for the greater good. Doesn't matter what they did back then because it doesn't apply. And it doesn't apply now because, as Pierre LeBrun just talked about in insider trading, I mean, you do have to boil down the numbers. And if Austin Matthews is getting 12.5 or higher, then you can bet that these guys, Nylander now, are going to fight for their slice of the pie. And I don't think he, to date, as we have this conversation, I don't believe that he's been willing to drop off $8+ million. That's where his ask is. Ooh. And that hasn't changed. So,
but does he not realize that that ask is not going to get anything done for him and he's going to sit at home?
Yeah. Well,
and
that
I
makes it easy for Dubas.
There's the option nowadays where the player is going to say, I don't really want to do that. I want this money. But you can sit at home, too, and make zero.
Say whatever you want about what Shanahan said, and I think you're right. It wouldn't be well-received. It wouldn't be well-received by Nylander and his camp. It wouldn't be well-received by Marner or Matthews or lots of people. But he's right. At the end of the day, he's right.
That's the tricky part. Like that, you know, the only way it is going
to
work.
And deep down, nobody wants to admit it because they've all got pending negotiations. So no one's going to say, Brendan's right, and we're all right.
Yeah,
we're all going to take a discount. They're not going to do anything. But if anything, they would bang the table and say, stick your hometown discount where sun don't shine. But the reality is, at some point, if they want to stay and play in Toronto with that group, if they want to keep the group together, and the group includes Tavares, or whatever we're calling him,
JT.
Nylander, and Marner, and Matthews. That group of four, if you want to keep
Riley,
that group,
Freddie Anderson,
if you want to keep that group of four together, then they are going to have to provide some discount. And if they don't, that's fine. They don't have to, and they're not obliged to. But if they don't, then one of them will be gone. And so, or one of them will end up getting more money somewhere else, but they won't be playing on a team that might be on the cusp of doing something special.
Well, he was talking about an offer sheet earlier, and sometimes it's great to have an offer sheet, but you think, look at that place. Do I want to go there?
The key of that's the whole point with offer sheets, is the player's got to be prepared to sign it.
Exactly. That gets lost on a lot of people.
So, and listen, and maybe somebody will and at some point and what have you, but the player's got to want to leave. I'll be prepared to leave if he signs that offer sheet.
I feel like the Tavares contract is complicating things as well because they're trying to sell this idea that he took a discount. And I understand San Jose technically was going to offer him more. $11 million isn't a discount, in my opinion. Drew Doughty took $11 million. Drew Doughty's a better player. I love John Tavares. I like the signing. $11 million to me is not a discount. It's not. When you get a full no move, full no trade, bonus money, I don't believe, if I'm Nylander, I'm not sitting here saying, well, John sacrificed. Yeah. I don't believe he sacrificed.
I agree with that. I agree with that. And it's also his third contract.
Right.
Like, Tavares comes into Toronto with millions and millions in the bank. You know, not that it matters. I mean, he had his pick of the litter. The second contract has always been an issue for the big guys in the NHL.
Didn't San Jose basically said,
yeah, but
right, any number you want.
A lot of teams speculate around 13.
They did. But he's entitled. He's a free agent.
Absolutely.
He was a free agent. Nylander's not a free agent. Nylander's going for a second contract. Mm-hmm. What was John Tavares' second contract?
It was like five and a half or something.
Was it 5.75?
Yeah, it was under six.
It was under six.
Yeah.
6 years time. So all those years he was in the top 10 in scoring.
But that's if you're Nylander, that's what you don't want. You don't want to be that. Like, you don't want to be underpaid like that.
Then take a bridge. Then take a bridge.
Yeah.
I mean, Dubas keeps saying he doesn't want a bridge.
I think
Toronto would be fine with a 3-year bridge. I think they'd be fine.
3 years, though, that's...
I don't think a player would ever do a 3-year bridge.
But Kucherov just did it.
Yeah. Ryan Johansson did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they parlayed 3-year bridges. Kucherov's still on his 3-year bridge. He's making Kucherov.
Yeah, 4.45.
4.67 or 4.77.
And that was after some monster production.
4.77. And this past season, he was one of the best players in the National Hockey League, making 4.77. He might be one of the best players in the National Hockey League this year, making 4.77. But year after that, he's going to 9.5.
Exactly.
Times 8. So they parlayed 3-year bridges. And I understand there's risk on both sides. You know, the risk for the Leafs is Nylander shoots the lights out for 2 years on a 3-year bridge.
Yeah, then
and then they go to sign him, and it's like, oh, it's going to cost us 9 or 10. So be it. That deal with those problems. But all I know is right now, William Nylander on a $6.5 million contract, he's losing $35,000 a day.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's going to make that up.
It's not going to be in Sweden. Because I don't think he's going to.
And I don't think.
Why would he play in Sweden?
I could be way wrong on this. I may be way off. But I'll be really surprised if the Leafs give him something in the sevens. I don't think he's getting a lot more than Pasternak.
No.
He doesn't deserve it.
No, he shouldn't. He shouldn't.
Darren Dreger, Bob McKenzie in studio. What did you guys make of the Brad Marchand, Lars Eller scene last night? Eller scores the seventh goal in a 7-0 blowout. Celebrates. You know, a bit of an elaborate celebration by the Bruins bench. All of a sudden, Brad Marchand decides he has to be the one that protects the shield of integrity in the sport, which I find incredibly hypocritical, considering this guy was licking people in the face like 5 months ago. Now, all of a sudden, he's all about honor and integrity.
Yeah, the code doesn't necessarily apply, right?
What did you guys make of that?
Yeah. Though?
And the league didn't do anything. He's playing tonight.
And they won't do anything. You're right. And I guess I can understand the position of the National Hockey League in that he was charged with an instigator for fighting. Now, you know, every time there's an instigator for a fight, you know, are you going to consider supplemental discipline? Well, my response is, well, maybe. I mean, if it gets to that point where you feel like you need to, and this was really, really close. I enjoy a fight because it happens so rarely. This wasn't really that. I mean, Lars Eller, even though I think the league believes that he fought back, I mean, he had his arms in the air in sheer self-defense. That's what he was doing. Now, what if he gets his orbital bone caved in?
Yeah.
You know, that gets pretty dicey from an injury perspective.
So why no suspension then?
Because there was an instigator called, and
don't you have to take into account who it is?
Like past history?
No, you don't.
No, they won't. That's the basic premise of NHL jurisprudence. People don't believe it, but they say it's true. And in fact, this is an example of why it would be true, is that you never look at who commits the foul.
What?
You look at the foul. You just look at the foul.
Wow.
And you say, so if Jonas Siegel instigates a fight in Bloody Zoe, is that a suspension or is it not a suspension? And
that's the ultimate turkey.
It's either yes or no. Now, if they say yes, and then they go, oh, it's Marchand, it's Siegel. Now they can pile on. Now they can If they want, they can go Tom Wilson on him if they want.
So is that what happened with Wilson? They would have suspended anybody that laid that hit out.
Anybody who laid that hit would have gotten a suspension. My guess is it would have been 4, maybe 6.
Mm-hmm.
And all the extra was because it was Tom Wilson, and it's been 4 suspensions
and there's
105
injury,
games.
You know, all that factors in. And
back to Marchand. Whatever he's called. We have to call everybody
just
two
call
names.
Brad. Just call him Brad.
I'm going to say two things that are completely at odds with each other. Number one, I like the fact that the game still has some antagonists, villains. I mean, it's professional sports is theater. And if everybody's as between the lines and as Connor McDavid, it's a boring league. So I like the fact that as a journalist and as somebody who covers the game and as a fan of the game, I like the fact there are heroes and I like the fact there are villains. And Marchand is a fantastic villain. Having said that, I know the league rationalized it as, well, you know what, they danced around long enough and Eller finally got his mitts off, so it's not the same as Domi giving Ekblad a bop in the head. I just watched the tape back and I'm looking at Eller and I go, you know, I understand the Bruins are mad at him for what he did, and I understand the old-time values and everything else, but Marchand jumped a guy who had no interest whatsoever in fighting and pounded him and beat him pretty good. Sliced open the side of his head, hit him right in the button, and as he was falling on top of him when he was on the ice, tried to give him one more shot. If the league had said, you know what, that's no good, and decided to fine him or suspend him or do whatever they were going to do to him, I would have been perfectly fine with it too, and that because now the Caps, you know, you come back to the age old thing, and that so like you know the Caps' response would be, okay, next time we play Boston, maybe we'll get Tom Wilson to go smack David Pastrnak around. Now it'll have to be after the first quarter of the season, but that's how the Caps feel about it. So
well, that's the irony of the whole old school, new school, where you're trying to get rid of plays that Tom Wilson is known for.
Isn't it funny that a guy gets 20 games and then a guy just grabs another guy and dummies him? No, nothing.
But if Wilson was on the ice, I'm not sure Marchand does that last night.
I think he does it in a heartbeat.
You think he still does it?
Sure.
I think he knew exactly what door. Let me put it this way. If Wilson scored the 7th goal and did that, there isn't a chance Marchand touches him.
Man, maybe
he knew exactly what door he was on.
Or I wonder if Brad was smart enough to look at the clock.
I guarantee he would be.
You know, and because
he's a smart hockey
if he gets
player,
the
he knows
instigator
the rules.
And
I'm
instigates
getting kicked
a fight
out.
Inside 5 minutes, it's an automatic suspension.
And he wouldn't be playing against the Sabres.
Do you think he may be open Pandora's box, though? Because throughout his career, I've wondered why no one's done that to him. No one's walked up to him and said, I'm beating the hell out of you. I hit you submarine, my guy.
How many guys are there like who do that?
Well, not many, apparently left. Brad Marchand does.
And he can fight.
Yeah.
I mean, you better get ready.
Okay, but I'm saying if Wilson grabs him, what's the league going to do?
Like, I don't think Tom Wilson's grabbing anyone when he comes back.
No?
He'll play the game as hard as he can, but, I mean, if he doesn't get the message by now, he's in big, big trouble, and he'll be keeping his nose as clean as it possibly can be.
We'll see. Good to have hockey back. You guys, we doing that insider trading tonight?
Yeah, did insider trading, and Dregs has got the Sens tonight.
Sens Chicago. Tune in.
Go Sens.
Beautiful. All right, boys. Good seeing you guys.
Thanks, guys.
There's our hockey insiders, Bob McKenzie and Darren Dreger in studio. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine Thursday night or tonight. Prop bets. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. TSN1050.ca. And enter for your chance to win a trip to Vegas to see the Leafs. TSN 1050 wants, 1050 wants to make you an honorary coach at the 2018 Hager Hockey Hall of Fame Legends Classic as well, November 11th at Scotiabank. Go to tsn1050.ca and enter for your chance to win. And you can stand behind the bench for Team Balfour and Team Fuhr and get exclusive access and tickets to the game. We will announce a winner on October 9th. Listeners can save 25% off tickets by using the promo code TSN1050 at Ticketmaster.ca.
Any emails, texts, tweets about getting dumped? Any advice needed? Or
yeah, there have been some people sending in their own testimonies of being on the wrong side of a turkey dump.
What happened? Tell me. This is stuff that we have to do.
Well, tomorrow we're going to do a lot of turkey dump material, okay? But let me get to this guy, okay? This poor
bastard.
Yeah. Ty is his name. Said, here's a reverse turkey dump, sky dump. Said, I met a girl in my, the girl in my dream, second week into school, and spent a third of my student loans taking her out to dinner, going to movies. Thanksgiving comes by, he has a conversation with her and goes, you're going home, I'm going home, but when we come back,
let's get serious.
Let's get serious. And she said, absolutely, I'm into it. They come back from Thanksgiving, and she full-blown reverse turkey dumps this guy and goes, actually, when I was home, I got back together with my hometown ex-boyfriend. He said every time he paid off a part of his student loan, a piece of him died.
Why is he spending that much money? How, like...
Well, he's probably really whining and dining this girl. Sounds kind of like the move... Like, you hear some of those moves with...
Where you're desperate and you just got to get money to just make an impression.
Yeah. Anyway, it's all good. So send us your notes. The phone lines will be open tomorrow. The hotline is going to be open.
I'm producing the show tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm taking control.
Well, Al's back today.
Oh, really? I had no idea. Al, what's up?
Al's good. He's just feeling
we'll
it.
We'll take calls tomorrow.
Okay.
We're doing the full meal deal.
What are you guys expecting out of the football game tonight? Your Pats. You think they go off?
Rush.
Agreed.
Sir Crush a lot.
Yeah.
They like that, you know, late September, early October stumble, and then they just start crushing people.
Yeah, I'm
it's
with
like
you.
A day. Maybe they won't win the division.
Maybe Brady's not good anymore, and then they just...
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and it's also the rest of the division. Like, the Bills suck. The Jets suck. Miami starts off 3-0, and then what happens? They have a chance to make a mark. They don't even have to win last week.
They get dummied 38-0.
Just be close. You know what I mean? Like, just
make a statement.
Make a statement. Lose by a field goal, and have New England leave the stadium saying, "You know what? Those guys are actually pretty good. Like, they're a team we got to look out for." They embarrassed them, and Miami embarrassed themselves at Gillette, and it's just right back to reality. And I fully expect New England to go off tonight. Time now for our best bets, brought to you by ProLine. I'm on Brady tonight over 24.5 pass completions. I think he throws like 50 times tonight, connects on like 38 of them. Surgical.
Unless they go ahead early and...
Maybe. Well, that's why Sony Michel, their running back, first rounder from this past year, over the number, 72.5 total rushing yards. Julian Edelman making his debut after the four-game suspension, under the number, 70.5 total reception yards for him. I think they ease him into the game plan. Makes sense, right, Jonas?
They got a lot of options now.
They do. Throw down $20, you can score 93. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So, what do you got on the go here, Jonas? You're
I'm going to Chicago for that game on Sunday.
You are?
And I'm on the road that whole week.
How'd you get that ticket? That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Chicago, Dallas, where else are they?
Chicago, Dallas, Detroit, and Washington.
Not bad. Four-game roadie. That's a tough roadie.
It's a long road trip.
Yeah, that is.
How does the Athletic even afford a budget for all you guys? I mean, there's 7 million of you. You're all at the same games.
Lots of people subscribe, I guess.
I don't read that much.
What? But like, you never played in the Western. You never played in the Western Conference, right?
Is that a throw now?
You never know, and
I don't read that much.
Will be happening on a daily basis.
Why?
That was today, dude.
It's your Sarah Palin moment.
Yeah. The last thing the Athletic wants to hear is this.
I don't read that much.
Anyway, go ahead, Jonas.
I was just going to ask him. Like, he never played in the Western Conference where the travel is, like, way harder than that. Like, I've been covering the Leafs a long time. They're, like, never one-week road trips. Like, twice a year. And in the West, it's like every trip sucks.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Everyone's
going to California, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And in Western Canada,
which
you do three games in like 6-7 nights, and then you come home.
It's a joke.
Yeah. And then maybe a California trip.
You got 3 to 4 biggies. You got a big one in the East. You got L.A. You got Western Canada. You got a Colorado, Arizona,
yeah,
St. Louis trip in there, and then you're done.
That's
I used
it.
To love when they eliminated all the West. They're like, just play one team out there because you're not going out there.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Tomorrow, all day turkey dump stories. We're going to have our own sports turkey dump. You know, what sports take are
all
we
of
officially?
All of it. We're going to break down the football game.
Mm-hmm.
And Jonas, if you can read numbers, we're going to start at
4.
We'll chat then.